John the Baptist, a figure we're all probably very familiar with. The reading we've just heard describes his ministry, baptizing many people who came to him from afar to see the one in the wilderness of whom they'd heard. But it all wasn't always that way. Later in his ministry, he sent word to his disciples, having landed himself in prison, to ask, "Are you the one of Jesus?" He wasn't sure. He wasn't sure, and he was seeking confirmation. He wanted to know whether he'd got it right. And indeed, Jesus was able to confirm, "Yes, I am the one." And he talked about the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed. All sorts of signs and wonders were happening to confirm that he was the Messiah that John pointed towards. And yet, I wonder, in this doubt that John expresses, was he a failure? He had begun his ministry strongly, gathering disciples and baptizing people in the River Jordan, but this expression of uncertainty later, was this tantamount to being a failure? And indeed, his ministry landed him in prison, and he was eventually executed on a whim of Herod. Was his life work worthwhile? And this voice of doubt is so particularly significant because John had so publicly heralded Jesus as Messiah, the coming king. He'd even gone so far as to identify himself with that voice described in Isaiah, the one crying in the wilderness. He'd styled himself as the new Elijah, dressing in the same way, with camel's hair and eating, as Elijah did, locusts and wild honey. Doesn't sound very appetizing to me. But now John was unsure of himself, just as he was unsure about Jesus. Had he made a terrible mistake? And so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Messiah. Perhaps to dispel this growing sense of doubt that Jesus maybe wasn't the one, perhaps he'd got it wrong. And as human beings, it's really quite hard not to be swayed by the opinions of our peers, isn't it? We're all susceptible. And when life has taken a turn or two for the worst, as it had for John, it's really hard not to call into question everything that we may have previously taken for granted. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus directly for assurance that his life and ministry was not wasted. And we can deduce from this that John was not able to get sufficient affirmation from his disciples or from his own life of prayer. John needed more, and he turned to Jesus for that reassurance, encouragement, and evidence. We may resonate with that kind of uncertainty and anxiety. We may also seek evidence of God's presence and action in our lives and in the world. We may long for our contribution to God's work to be recognized and affirmed so that even if we suffer, we know that our life, work, and faith are worthwhile. I certainly resonate with John's concerns, perhaps even more so now that I'm pointing people on a full-time basis towards the Christian faith. I hope I'm never imprisoned for it, although many Christians have been and are even today imprisoned for their faith. Nevertheless, I'm still often beset with doubts from time to time. Doubts about my own abilities. Doubts about whether I've properly heard and responded to God's call. Doubts about whether even my understanding of God is correct. Perhaps even sometimes asking, is this the right religion or should I look for another? Such doubts are not bad in themselves. And actually, it's really good, I think, to question our faith and to be honest with ourselves about our doubts and weaknesses. But I think what's important is what we do with those doubts. We probably need to be careful about where we go to for answers and for affirmation. Because not all sources of information are equally trustworthy. I'm sure we can think of examples of this. Even well-intentioned people that we may respect are inherently biased. And they may not be in a position to give accurate responses. An example of this would be if John had sent his disciples to ask perhaps the Pharisees the questions about Jesus, they would have got a very different response. So we need to be careful who or where we go to for advice, encouragement, and support. Not everyone or everything will be helpful, and sometimes we may need God's help to discern the difference. But we don't need to be despondent, because of course the good news of our faith is that whether we have all confidence or whether we are fearful or perhaps not as well informed as we might be, we are all equally precious in God's sight. And we can be just as useful in God's service. Indeed, despite his doubts, John is affirmed by Jesus as being Isaiah's prophetic voice, the one who took that role of Elijah and was one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty impressive for a prisoner who was questioning Jesus' identity, I think. And indeed, one of the wonderful things I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of others is that God has an amazing way of responding to our needs. Perhaps not necessarily in the way we might want, but certainly in the way that is helpful. All that I believe we're responsible for, and perhaps this is the basis on which we're judged, is what we do in response to our encounters with God. Because if our faith is not shaping our lives and the service of others, not just family and friends, but all those who we meet, people that can never repay us, if not those things, then perhaps we are missing, we're in danger of missing God's message of love and peace to humanity. But if we are open to God and truly seeking to do his will, then God will meet us in the sacraments, in the words we hear, and through the encouragement of and affirmation of others. And he will use us as he used John, mightily in his service. Amen.